welcome to episode 216 of the Muck Podcast. Listen in as we discuss the dark and sometimes weird two stories in American politics. I'm Tina Jaramillo.
And I'm Hillary Doherty.
Hillary.
Look at this. You need to, every time we make a video, Tina's next to the wall.
I'm out hiding in the corner.
Yeah.
Like, where putting is she? Baby in the corner.
Yeah, there. That's better.
No one wants to see me.
Oh, I do. Of course, my darling.
Thank you.
Well, the sun isn't up yet. Well, kind of. It's kind of coming up. It's very early.
Listen, we're in the middle of a weird hurricane feeling weather in the middle of March.
Isn't it bizarre?
It's the weirdest thing.
It started raining yesterday morning. It hasn't stopped. I think it's not supposed to stop until like 4 o'clock today. Yeah. And that's the whole time I'm like, I keep looking like, when is this going to stop? When is it going to stop? I don't know if it's my... it's the roof. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, you got a roof and you're like, please God.
I love this hoodie, by the way. It's so cute.
Thank you. But like, I'm just like, I know it's a new roof, but I'm still like, did your hair drip? Did something drip? You know, like, I'm just so fucking worried all the time.
It's stressful.
Yeah, it's very stressful.
We're having a weird similar thing.
Really?
But with the windows in that Florida room.
Mm.
Because I'm like, why does this feel damp?
Oh, girl. Like the wall?
Ooh. But we're supposed to like get that. I just was like, oh, we'll put new windows in. But now I'm worried there's...
Yeah, water getting in. Well,
I can't even think about it. I'm putting that on the back burner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You could also, but you know what? The outside of one of my walls, when I did that home inspection, there was an outside of one of my walls. It had cracks in it. And my inspector, who was a doll baby, she was like... She really gave me a list of like, here's all the things that you can do yourself and like just fix these things. And one of them was the water was getting into the sealant outside the window, the sealant window. Uh-huh. So it's coming out from the outside and just getting into the concrete on the wall.
Yeah, that's what I think is happening.
So I had a friend of mine from work come over
and just reseal.
Put silicone on the windows. And he did patch up those little, it's not a lot of work, but you know what I mean? It's, just seal it up again so the water stops getting in. That's all.
It's just all so annoying.
Yeah. I mean, I told you, I don't think I said it on the podcast, but when I was driving up to Orlando for my son's drama competition a few weeks ago, my daughter calls me because we left like a few hours before she woke up. And she woke up because she was volunteering down the street for school. And she's like, I hate to tell you this, but my bedroom window is broken. It cracked the whole glass, all the way up and down. And I'm like, what? And then I was like, someone trying to break into the house. Like I said, please just go walk around the house, like inside and see. No other windows were broken. We have kind of figured it maybe was a bird flew into it, like hard, because it's up really high. And so I have to get that replaced. They're finally going to replace that on Monday.
Oh my God.
$480.
That's crazy.
Because it's impact glass.
Yes. I remember though, my parents' house, I was sitting, my son was, my oldest was a baby. He was sitting on my lap,
mm-hmm.
and the window was behind me, and the person was mowing the lawn.
Yep, rocks. I thought maybe that was it too.
No, it was the metal sprinkler head.
No!
Yeah, and I happened to have moved, and it flew, broke through the glass, and if I was still sitting there, like, it would have hit my son.
Wow!
Yeah, I think about that sometimes, where I'm like, it was like a split second of movement.
Yeah.
But it flew through. It like, and I was like,
that's
crazy. It's like a weapon.
That reminds me of when I was
little.
So it could
have been something like that.
Yeah. I remember when I was little, my brother and his friends were playing baseball in the front yard, which was not a big yard, by the way. And one of them hit the ball and then was like so excited that he hit the ball. He threw the bat and the bat went flying through my mom's living room window. And somebody was laying on the couch and the glass was just all over them. I forgot who was laying on the couch.
Oh my God. Ooh. I wouldn't want to be there.
No.
Oh
no.
My God.
All right. What do we got? I have so much.
Yeah,
I have so much. Okay. So
please do all the things.
First of all, I want to say something.
Was
real
the
quick.
Bloodbath comment this week? Everything feels like
it was this week.
So long ago.
Let me say something.
It's we're back in this cycle
of Trump being
of all the time, and you can't keep up with it, and it feels like
it's
years and it's 2 days.
Yeah. But I will say this. It is starting to feel like, and I know this is probably very like, I don't know, what's the right word? Like activism sort of, I don't
thinking.
Know, liberal like leaning sort of thing. But all of the years leading up to these moments of Trump getting his due that we've been waiting for, because he popped his head up and said, "I want to run for president,"
and became one of. He should have just stayed in his hiding.
Yeah,
hole,
like he just because he did that, there was a super microscope now on all of his business dealings. And you know, when you're a piece of shit, like racist, misogynist, motherfucker, like you are,
rapist.
When you're that kind of person, and they're going to really look for you. And I love that it's women of color who are the ones that are able to be the faces of this.
Oh, my God.
Because that's really powerful,
and that,
too.
And that's who's going to take your property
yeah,
away.
Like Letitia James up in New York, she's coming for you, bro.
Yeah.
You should have never run for president.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go to jail. You're going to go to jail.
He really thinks that he's good. I don't want to jinx anything. Well, but
I'm knocking on wood.
You know, just because, you know, I opened up that stupid Broward link of candidates and the first face you see is Donald Trump. You know what I mean?
Right,
and
right,
I'm
right.
like, wow.
It's so crazy, but also I can't imagine. He's getting his due. So he had two civil cases, the one with E. Jean Carroll, where he was found guilty of sexual abuse, and they couldn't get him on the rape, but they got him on the abuse. But the judge said he absolutely did rape her. And then also the civil case against his company that was committing fraud. Okay.
Fraud. We talk about these people all the time on the show.
And you should
all the time.
You should really see on Twitter the people who are like defending him and like who was really the victim here, what's the big deal, that kind of thing. And I thought, wow, these are the same people who are like, corporations are greedy fuckers, right? They're against it. Or working class blue collar people who are like, fuck big corporations. But this is the justice system doing its job. This company committed fraud for decades, and they got away with holding on to millions of dollars by deflating the price, the amount of what their property values were, or increasing it when they needed to sell it. Like they decrease it to have less taxes. Like doing all, or they actually had a floor plan for his apartment at Trump Tower that they kept increasing the size of, and it was bigger than the actual size of the building. Because it gave it more value. Like
I
things
mean, but
like
how
that.
How do you get away with, you know what I mean? I feel like it's certain people are continuously allowed to get away with stuff all of the time.
Yeah. And also,
and they don't face consequences.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
other people, like sort of regular everyday people being thrown in jail for lesser crimes and longer periods of time than these fucking maniacs.
But also there's lots of corporations that play, like there are tons of tax loopholes. They're trying to do another $1 trillion tax cut for these.
Oh, I saw that.
To give more tax cuts to billionaires.
Right.
There's plenty of billionaires that use these tax loopholes that are legal and still can hold on to a ton of their money. This is someone who's a criminal who had a lot of money and still wanted to fuck the system. And then also wanted to be the president of that country, of the system he's fucking. And that's where we have these issues.
Yeah, you can't make it up.
He had these judgments of totaling $483 million last month. He had to appeal those cases, which he wants to do. You have to prove in court with a bond that you get from an underwriter, an insurance company, or a bank. Or you show your money, you show your bank statements that shows that you can cover this payment, right?
He can't.
And he can't show it. And he's such a liability and a risk. No underwriter will give him this bond, which I knew that was going to be the case.
Well, and then now it's like, hi, Russia.
Yeah.
Hi, Saudi Arabia.
Do we want a president who's so desperate for cash? Is that the kind of person you want in charge?
He's already in bed with Russia.
So now
imagine
he's saying,
now
his lawyers are like, and now this is the new twist, is the lawyers and all his lackeys are going, this is an unprecedented amount of money to put on a judgment. But it's actually not. The way that the judge did it is by charges. Like how you have to levy this sort of fine to discourage
people
more
from doing it.
Fraud. Yeah. So anyway, he can't get the bond, and so he won't be able to appeal. And come Monday in Westchester County in New York, Letitia James has already filed to start taking properties up there.
I can't.
So
I want
this is all happening. It's incredible.
I just, when Mar-a-Lago goes away.
Let's go up. We got to go up live.
And somebody, oh, and they just start like the repo, Melania's truck's outside.
Yeah, Melania's got the stick with the handkerchief on her shoulder. She's walking down the street.
Ooh.
May.
She put her eggs in the wrong basket, girl.
Yeah, I saw.
You put your eggs in the wrong basket because she hates them to begin with. Yeah. I mean, we all know.
Yeah. I was telling my mom this week.
I said,
this is her just due to.
Yeah.
Bitch, don't get married for money.
No.
Unless you're in love, like maybe. But held his hand in that White House as an immigrant who is right off the boat.
Yeah.
She's right off the boat. Of course it is. Yeah. But she's not distant from the story of being an immigrant.
No. I just, like, the way that they justify all of the discrepancies with this man.
Mm.
It still boggles my mind.
So basically,
I've never seen this kind of idolatry of like a human being.
And he has it is finally so amazing to see the thing we've been saying for 4 or 5, 6 years. He's broke.
Yeah.
He wants to tell you he's a billionaire. He had $400 million in cash. That's nothing to sneeze at.
No.
But it's not enough to cover your civil judgments and also your legal bills. This is the other thing that's coming out, because I was saying that to you and Justin. I was like, you know,
these lawyers are gonna be like, where's my money?
Yeah, you've got like what, six, seven cases going. Those are lawyers on all those cases. Mm-hmm. Do you know how much money this man must owe in legal bills? And I'm telling you, lawyers will be like, well, we'll continue the case after you pay us. You owe us this. We can't do any more further work.
And but the thing that upsets me, well, it doesn't upset me, but, you know, a lot of his base, like you were saying, are these like working class people who already don't have enough money, maybe. I don't know.
Because
everything is expensive.
Yes.
And they're going to give what they have to you because you're a piece of garbage and you can't pay your bills. So you're going to take someone else's money.
Yeah.
And start paying your stuff. It is.
They are draining the RNC.
Oh, my God.
They're draining those coffers now. And also it came out this week that his super PAC has this week paid $50 million fees. $50 million in legal fees.
How is that even possible?
That's super PAC money that people are donating. I heard somewhere in a podcast that if they say this, when you donate, it could say on there in small print, this money could be used for X, Y, and Z, and it could say legal fees in there. And so it's okay for them to use the money for that reason.
They definitely put that in there.
Do you think the people donating are thinking it's going to that? Or are they going because they think they want to get Donald Trump reelected?
They think it's about the presidency. The biggest con job.
Yeah.
The biggest con job of our time.
Yeah.
Of this country. This country's existence. That's the biggest con job.
I don't know if I said that last week or the week before. He deserves something for that.
Yeah.
He deserves something.
You'll get your face in the book for that.
Yeah. It's such an odd, bizarre thing that
this whole party.
I don't know. It's so fucking crazy.
This whole party that claims to be about, you know, the little guy, you know, with that Social Security cut that they're trying to do, a couple of things that they're trying to
this
do.
This is not good.
Is, you know, they're trying to raise the retirement age to 69.
Right.
And I don't know if it's going to be like before where it's like, if you're born from this year to this year, you know, it goes up in this year. Like, I don't know where I fall in that bracket. Either way, I don't think anybody should be working till they're 70.
No.
I think, and I've said that on the here before, like there could be a different plan where, you know, you start your life part time as a kid and then, you know, you work full time. And then maybe as you're getting older, you start, your hours start kind of going down. You trickle out of the system. But our lives should not be for us to be a cog in a machine for billionaires. Ooh. Like, that's not what our existence should be.
No.
It really is gross. And now you want to cut Social Security benefits to spouses and to children. Right now, like, if your partner dies or your child's parent dies, that child is entitled to a benefit. They get, you know, college paid for. There's all of these things. And this is the party of the, we care about people and babies and family.
Please.
But, you know, well, if you're a widow or you're an orphan child, like, go screw yourself. I have no words for how disgusting this party is or what this party has become.
These are the issues. Social Security being cut and abortion are the issues that are turning off his base. Good. Those are the folks that are really afraid. Believe me, the Social Security is a real fucking thing. And I don't, his entire presidency, he attempted to do this. I don't have a shadow of a doubt that he will attempt to take away Social Security again if he's elected. So,
and the thing
tell
is,
your friends and neighbors, right, kids, because that's what's going to happen.
And the thing is, when they cut Social Security or they decide, like, we're not going to give Social Security out anymore, right? If they get, like, dismantled, because that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He wants to get rid of the Department of Education.
Yeah.
He wants to get rid of, except for, one desk, one person.
Right.
Something like that. It's crazy. He wants to get rid of Social Security. But I've been working since I'm 14 years old. My first, like, official paycheck from when I was 14. I've been working my entire life.
Yeah.
Sometimes two jobs just to try to live. And I've put in my time and I've put in my money. Is the government going to write me a check? Because I think I was looking it up that, like, the average person, you know, like, we would probably be owed like $500,000. Mm-hmm. So are they going to send me a check in the mail for $500,000 for what I paid in? Because that's my money that you took.
Yeah.
And now I don't get it.
These are also white collar people, right?
Who have their 401s, who have all the other people don't have that.
And there are people who can't work until they're 80 or 90 because the jobs they have are physical jobs. And they deserve to enjoy their twilight golden years just like everybody else does.
Right.
There's this horrible right wing podcast who's like, I think it's fine. You know, why would somebody, as soon as somebody retires, all they do, they go downhill. Well,
that's not true.
Sir, you're a millionaire who sits behind a fucking microphone all day.
Yeah.
Like, you could do that until you're 80. Why are you, this thing about making judgments and on people's lives that you have no idea about. Yeah. You have no idea what that's like for people. It's fucking bullshit.
And where are the statistics on that? Yes, things do go downhill for some, you know, we've talked about this, if you're not being social and this, that, and the other, but that doesn't mean that you have to work a full-time job till you drop dead.
No.
Because you're not doing it. You're on your yachts and you're on your vacations and you're having people who also do your laundry and clean your house,
right,
and scrub your toilets,
right,
and clean your kitchen. That is another burden that is on people that you're like, you don't have any of that. Get to go fuck yourself. I'm sick of these people. I am sick of, you know, tax the goddamn rich already, because these billionaires, even if they get taxed, they're still going to have billions of dollars that they will never go through. It's outrageous. And with prices.
The billionaire should not be a real thing.
No.
There should be no such thing as a billionaire.
I agree.
That's a real, That's real.
This is the dangers of capitalism, man.
There should be no such thing as a billionaire. Not when there's people starving.
No. And when there's people. So I met up with my very, very dear friend and my old roommate, Deborah. And we were just chatting about like our old apartment. And she had looked it up. Like when we lived there, we paid like 800 something bucks a month and split by two people. That same apartment right now is $2,700 a month.
Yeah.
$2,700. This isn't it in some fancy schmancy place. $2,700. There's no way in a million years I'd ever be able to live there as like a 20 something.
No, I don't know how. Listen.
I don't know how these 20 somethings
are doing
it. Our
children will be living with us for a long time. Like, yeah. Be prepared. That's going to be a thing.
It's only
going to
be Italy now.
So let's talk about baby boy Mike Johnson had a terrible, awful, awful week. Another, we talked about last week, Rep Ken Buck out of Colorado was like, peace the fuck out. He left last Friday.
Someone else
and
is leaving.
And then this week, Rep Mike Gallagher will resign early. And here's the thing about this, what this guy did, which is crazy too. This guy, Mike Gallagher, I'm sorry, I don't know what state he's from, but this guy, Mike Gallagher, he's not a MAGA Republican, but he is a Republican. He's leaving. If you leave by a certain date, they can't hold a special election. They have to wait. The seat will stay vacant. Until like the next, I think November or something. So like when they can have an election. So between now and then, there will be no special election. This seat will stay vacant. And they're saying it was very strategic. He did it on purpose to be like Bafangul to fucking Mike Johnson. Like another guy
Mike
who's
Johnson.
Like, I'm done. This is shenanigans. And I can't
Mike
imagine
Johnson.
Like you have a family at home. You have a job at home. Like all these guys, whatever, they're lawyers, whatever their jobs are. They want to get home.
Yeah.
They don't want to sit here and they go to D.C. and they're away from their home. They're away from their constituents.
And it's shenanigans.
Away from their families and they're not doing work. And It's a fucking circus every single day. It's got to be a hard pill to fucking swallow. And you get to the point where you see them going further and further down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Are you going to continue to follow them? It's so another good thing to see is this
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
The people falling apart. The party really falling apart because they're losing their margins. They're now only four vote advantage.
And that's not a lot.
It's not a lot. And there's a lot more that little MAGA minority, there's a lot more regular Republicans than those people. And we know this because they passed their budget this week. And as soon as they passed it, it's a $1 trillion budget, which, by the way, gives weapons and billions of dollars to Israel, by the way. So we are now continuing to fund a fucking genocide. I just want everybody to be aware of that. That's what all of our representatives fucking voted for. All the Democrats, I think, except maybe 2 or 20 or something like that. Mm. I don't know what it was. Anyway, we're funding a fucking genocide. So let's just be clear about that. If Biden doesn't get his shit together on this, it will continue to be a black stain on his presidency.
Yep.
And I think it will affect his reelection. It's unfortunate to say it like this, but you're weighing the scales of genocide Trump. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, who are we voting for? And that is something that I do not agree with the Biden administration. I wish they
Trump
would fucking change
but
their
Trump
their
is going to go along with the same thing. He's not going to do a ceasefire.
No, I mean, like, I don't. This is the thing I can't stand about Biden. Or do you vote for Trump?
Right.
Like, no, you vote for Biden and hope to God that he gets his shit together.
Yes.
Because there are people literally starving. The United States cannot get food into Gaza because Israel will not allow our trucks to get through there. Not okay. Not okay. Women and children are fucking starving. They say by May, 30,000 people will starve to death. Bombs and the weapons. This is fucking people starving to death. So he passes this budget. And of course, the people who vote against it are those like Matt Gaetz, blah, 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 right? What does Marjorie Taylor Greene do? Because she don't like that. She don't like that we're actually moving the government forward and doing something to move the money forward. She files a motion to have baby boy Mike Johnson removed as speaker.
Do you think that God whispered into baby boy Mike Johnson's ear the night before and said, "It's coming, it's coming.
Yeah.
You better watch out.
You're going to feel a sting in your back. Judas, it's a knife.
Judas is coming for you. Marjorie Taylor Greene,
like she confirmed my son." You know how my son was on a cross? You're about to be on a cross too.
You're going to be persecuted.
Yeah. The difference is my son liked porn. Like normal people.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so there's this loophole that was created in the last year by McCarthy and Gaetz. And because McCarthy really wanted to be Speaker of the House, right? And Gaetz is like, all right. We'll vote for you for Speaker of the House, but I want something in writing, like written down, that's passed. That says if we can remove you for any reason whatsoever, you sneeze the wrong way, we can remove you.
God.
And McCarthy's like, okay. So now there's this loophole in there.
They
can just remove anybody at any time, and it's a fucking circus. So now Mike Johnson, so Marjorie Taylor Greene said she's not going to call for a vote, but it's a warning. He's only been in there for 5 months. And I hope you've enjoyed your fame, sir, because we're never going to see you again. We're never going to hear from you again.
God.
They've used you for what they need to use you for, and now you're going to be fucking out, which is what this party is about anyway.
Baby boy Mike Johnson needs to be a t-shirt.
Poor baby boy Mike Johnson, that baby face.
Pobrecito.
So let's get local.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, there's a good local.
Wait.
We'll get to that. We'll do bad local.
Let's do DeSantis and this homeless bill that he signed this week.
The camps, you mean?
This is crazy. And it was on the front page of the Sun Sentinel this morning, how cities and counties are scrambling because
they have to find a space.
The bill is so vague that it makes no sense. And so HB 1365, this is what it says. The bill prohibits local counties or cities from allowing people to camp or sleep on public property. It allows a county to designate a specific area for homeless encampments, but requires them to be certified by the Department of Children and Families and requires that they operate no longer than a year.
So there's going to be moving camps, because then when that camp is up, we have to find another place to put a camp. Where are we putting any of this?
Well, that's the other part of it.
And
there's so many restrictions.
They're also saying like, this will be rehabilitated. You know, you got to have like some rehabilitation services. You have to have, you know, like drug and alcohol, you know, treatment
Listen
plans.
To this. The camps will be required to have security, running water, and working bathrooms. The law also has strict enforcement to keep the camps free of drugs and alcohol. Who's paying? By the way, no money was given.
Yeah.
No money was given to cities or counties for this. By the way, here's the other part. Starting in January, the law grants permission to residents and business owners to file a civil suit against local governments that fail to enforce the public camping ban within 5 days after receiving written notice of the alleged violation. If the plaintiff prevails, the court can award attorney's fees along with witness fees and court costs. So let me tell you something about homeless people in my neighborhood, okay?
Because
I'm across the street from a park.
Yeah.
And at my local civic association meetings, the residents would complain about, why is someone sleeping on the bench? Why is some? And the cops that were there were like, listen, people can lay down in a public park. Right. As long as the park's open
right.
and people are allowed to be there, we can't do anything about it. They're not doing anything wrong. Now they can arrest them. So we're talking about putting the police on notice, arresting people, filling the jails with homeless people who probably need other services right. besides this. Here's another thing.
These
that's
are
so
people
good.
Who clearly are already not in a good place.
Yeah.
And I agree that we do need to do something about the homeless situation, but we have for decades gutted any programs for mental health.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So we don't have any security in place to help people. And now we're going to criminalize them when we've done nothing to help. And as a society, like, you know, there are people who are going to suffer from mental illnesses that don't allow them to work, right? Like they can't work, or they have a drug addiction that is so severe that it has impacted every aspect of their lives, but that is connected to a mental issue. And all we want to do is demonize people instead of helping people. And again, the same party that's supposed to be about God and Jesus.
Right.
Are the first people that want to put people in camps. Like,
So a county can designate public land to be used for a homeless camp. If the property lies within a municipality, the county will need approval from the city commission. Wait till you hear this. The county will be required to submit a request for certification to the state of Department of Children and Families, along with proof of the following. Because they've got the children and families, they got to come out and look around and see if it's appropriate, right? But also, they have to prove that there's not enough beds in homeless shelters to house the county's homeless population. The designated encampment is not next to property designated for residential use by the county or municipality in the local government, comprehensive plan, and future land use map. The encampment would not negatively affect the safety of children or the property value of nearby residential or commercial property.
So basically you can't do it.
This is an impossible thing. Remember when all of the pedophiles were living under a bridge in Miami?
Right.
Because there's a law, if you're a registered sex offender,
you can't live within a certain distance of schools or children.
Parks or whatever. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
And so in Miami, there was a place under an overpass, under a highway, where all of these people who were released from jail that were sex offenders or pedophiles, you know, were living under this bridge in camps.
I mean,
because it was the only spot that was not near anything.
I mean, that's kind of fine for me.
No, I get it. Yeah. But the same thing goes here.
Now,
if they wanted
to
set this up across the street, I'd be like, excuse me?
Yeah.
What? I would, no, ma'am.
Right.
Right? And I think that's how everybody is going to be. Nobody wants this near their business. Nobody wants a camp near where they're living. It makes no sense. And it's so vague.
Then it's going to just be like these remote areas, you know what I mean? Sort of like dead zones in the county.
And they're supposed to,
because Broward County is huge. Like, are they going to go like as far,
maybe,
you know, west as you can and just ship people out?
Maybe. No money for security. No money for, like, they're just like, oh, have health and mental health and physical health resources there. Who's doing that?
Yeah, who's doing
that? And the county commission, the one time I've ever agreed with Steve Geller, he's like, this is some bullshit. You're not giving, you do all this and you're not going to give us money too? Like, fuck this. Like, is it a problem? Yes. Is this the answer? No. No, this is not the answer. As far as canceling the primary, I still say no good. No good.
Oh, no.
We were outnumbered.
That thing that you said yesterday to me.
10-1. Yeah, I was going to read a couple of those if you don't mind.
I was reading that. I'm like.
So Stephanie Murphy.
Like things that the Democratic Party doesn't think about.
Right. Well, so a lot of people will defend. Anybody in the party will be like, look, we didn't need to have a presidential preference primary because
we all know that it's Biden.
Basically at their convention, they didn't add or didn't nominate Marianne Faithful or Williamson. I said Faithful. Marianne Williamson with her crystals. They didn't nominate the other bozo who was in the race. Like, they didn't put those people on. So when Democrats go out to vote in the primary, Joe Biden's not on there as a choice, okay? But what also happens is, because I had nothing in my city to vote for, and it's a March primaries, go fuck yourselves.
I know. It's the weirdest thing.
You cities need to stop these fucking March primaries.
Thing. Just do everything in the fall.
Yeah, so dumb.
What are you wasting everyone's time for?
There was no reason for a Democrat to come out. I had no reason to go. Correct. There's nothing for me to vote for.
Same.
Okay? So what happens is, in cities like Pembroke Pines, like we were talking about, those are nonpartisan seats. But Republicans came out to vote for their presidential nominee. Right. And what's on the ballot? All these other seats. And so it was like 10 to 1 Republicans came out to vote. And what also is, it gives them the advantage in vote by mail. So Stephanie Murphy, who was a former House rep, U.S. House rep in the Orlando area, gave 5 points of why we should have had this primary. The abysmal low Democratic turnout that resulted from canceling the primary likely tipped some local races over to the GOP, as many municipal and nonpartisan races across Florida are decided on primary day. Okay. Also, canceling the primary denied President Biden what would have likely been a strong win in Florida, and consequently a much-needed boost to help sustain the momentum he was experiencing from the strong State of the Union speech. Third, canceling the primary also denied thousands of Jewish Democratic voters in Florida an opportunity to show their support at the ballot box for Biden. Biden's strong support for Israel, but who cares about that? No. Here's another one. But here's the big reason. Vote by mail in Florida. Yep. When you request a mail ballot for the primary, you don't have to request it again for the general. It's automatically mailed to you in the fall. As a result, the GOP now has a bigger vote-by-mail advantage heading into November. Columnist Scott Maxwell, who I've tried to get on this podcast, and he was like, oh, I'm so busy, I can't come, who I have long respected, dug through Tuesday's returns and found that, quote, with no Dem primary, Republicans in Florida start the November general election with a huge head start on voting by mail heading into the general. We're talking greater than 10 to 1, end quote. So
it's just,
you have to stop thinking so short-sighted of, we love Biden and we don't need to have, stop it.
Right.
You're not thinking about what else is on the ballot. And by the way, how could you not be? How could you not be thinking about that?
The Republicans, as we know, are great strategists. We have to start thinking strategy.
The picture of the sign you sent me? So in Pompano, where kind of near where Tina's son swims, there's a place to vote, where I usually go vote. And there's a yard sign when you pull in, it's got a giant QR code where you go to park and it says Republicans ballot.
They're not even printing palm cards, man.
People just can go like this on their phone and they can look at it.
Everything. I mean, it's a great idea.
Don't need to pay a volunteer to sit there and do this.
Nope.
Very smart.
Yeah. Because people come in and they're like, if I saw that,
of course, you know, I would look at it.
Yes, perfect. Yeah, scan. Yeah. The older people, I mean, I think you still got to hand out the palm cards to the older folks.
Right.
But they are always one step ahead.
And that's why they'll always be winning here.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about, I know we're going long here, but I wanted to talk about some comments that were on our one of our posts. Uh-oh. For Instagram. So I put this post up, this video of Tina. All she was saying was how France is rooting for us, right?
Oh, yeah.
and this guy started commenting.
Oh,
and
my God.
I want to really talk about how this is scary. And
I didn't see these.
It's frightening. It's frightening.
I saw one, and then I just was like, I can't look at this.
It's also just like the quiet part, you know, they're saying the quiet part out loud. And this is really how I think Republicans feel, and these sort of like pro-life activists, this is how they really feel. And it shocked me to read it, because I was like, oh, right. That's right. That's what they really believe. So hold on, let me find the. Okay. So he wrote, his name, by the way, is Kevin Eustace. Tried to find out where he is, but I can't find him because, of course, his thing's blocked. But he's got a baby on his hip, you know, in his picture. Mm. He wrote, so thirsty for baby blood, but you can't see yourself as evil. Now, we've heard this before with the baby blood.
We're thirsty for baby blood?
Right. Like, it's just so out there. Like, I don't know what you're thinking.
It's not a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what you're thinking. We're not thirsty for blood. We're thirsty to survive. Yeah. We're thirsty to have our rights over our body. We're autonomy. Thirsty to go into a doctor's office yeah. and not have you standing in there with me, Kevin Eustace. I don't know why you think you deserve to say what happens when I go to the doctor, but that's what I'm thirsty for. So I wrote back, wow, is this supposed to hurt our feelings? Not sorry that we are more concerned with women dying in hospital parking lots due to sepsis because they are refused medical care. But please continue commenting. The internet loves to see idiots reveal themselves.
Ooh, I missed this whole thread.
So here's what he wrote back. And this is like, I got to tell you, I cried. Not like you hurt my feelings, but holy shit, this is how it really is. This is real, okay? He wrote, I don't feel bad you died during a murder. You are evil and support an evil you are evil and support evil. Stop sacrificing your children, then pretending to be a victim. So that first part, I don't
that
feel
doesn't
bad.
Even make sense.
I don't feel bad you died. He's talking about women who are denied medical care and get sepsis and almost die, or right. women who attempt to give themselves an abortion because they have no access to it, or women who go to a doctor in a back alley and die from it. That's that quiet part, y'all. That's the part.
They don't care
when
about
if
women.
You're a man and you're watching this and you support women's rights, I want you to know the men that don't, the men that are sitting in Congress right now, Trump himself as well, this is how it is. They don't care if we live or die. Me and Tina, your mother, your sister, your friends, your daughters, they don't care about if they live or if they die. And as a woman, it's fucking frightening. This is the scariest thing I've ever fucking read. Because it's that quiet part. He's telling us. This is a troll. I get it.
Right.
I mean, he's a real person. I can find him on Facebook, I'm sure, if I tried. But this is a real person who's telling me as a woman, he doesn't care if I live or I die because of a clump of cells that I want removed from my body.
It's insane.
That's real. This is the real fucking truth. And I wrote, and then I replied, what a shock that you have no empathy for women. Why don't you go fuck yourself, which I'm sure you used to, you miserable fuck.
Woo!
But then the next couple days later, I found this amazing clip by Ann Richards, and I put a reel up on my page that now has over 1,000 views. Ann Richards was a former governor of Texas. She's incredible. She had this amazing quote, which I would love to play, and it was back in the 90s. She said this in 1999, which was 25 fucking years ago. She was a Democratic governor of Texas. Her daughter went on,
I know,
Cecile Richards,
went on
to run Planned Parenthood for years. But then this Lydia G. Taylor, whose entire existence is she's a young, white, beautiful girl who makes TikTok videos about you need to fight for babies. You need to fight for babies' lives and babies.
Shut
and I'm pro-woman. And
yeah.
I'm, but her entire
Shut
existence
up.
Online is making videos about stopping abortion. Okay, she's one of
girl,
those white women.
Girl, you gotta stop.
And by the way, I'm gonna start saying white women with capital W. Okay, capital W. We know who you are. She wrote, no woman should have the right to kill her child. Women's rights begin at conception.
That doesn't make any sense.
Then she tried to tell me about how, you know, you have no right to kill a living human being. And I said, sweetie.
It's
at 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it cannot live outside of the womb.
Right.
That whatever that is, it can't breathe outside of the womb. So what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
It's not a living, breathing human being. Anyway, I went back and forth with her and, you know, but she's a piece of shit. And I said, I hope that you can sleep well at night knowing that you're working every day to make women and girls' lives more dangerous. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing as a young woman, using your beauty and your TikTok skills to make girls' lives more dangerous in this country. That's what you're doing with your face.
Mm.
That's what you're using your energy for. And there's a special place in hell for women like this.
Yep.
Her, Katie Britt, all these women, There's a special place in hell for you because you don't even know the landscape of women's lives. You don't know it. This bitch got engaged, this girl, Lydia, whatever, she gets engaged, and her engagement photo was a pro-life woman found her pro-life man. Like, her entire fucking thing is pro-life.
Oh my
bitch.
God. Girl, I hope that, you know, you don't have any medical complications. Woo! In your life.
That's the tea.
I hope not.
That's the tea.
Because you'll be the first one, because I'm sure you make a lot of money on your TikTok, to go begging for help somewhere.
Yeah. And you'll be the one going, they'll tell her she can't carry. Right. And she has to have some sort of operation or something.
Right.
And then you'll be really forced to know the reality of what these women have gone through, who've had to make tough decisions. Because what we know about women who have abortions is that they are already mothers. The majority of them live in red states. They work full-time jobs, and they're already mothers. They're already mothers. So they're trying to not continue a burden, which another right. child would be. It'd be another burden. So when that guy says, we don't care if you live or die, they're talking about someone who's already a mother. What about her children that are already
they
exist?
They don't care.
You know, like, there's lives that you want to protect, and there's lives you don't give a fuck about.
They don't care about any lives, though. This is all just, it's all bullshit. They don't put any money or effort into any programs, into any helping. They're not adopting babies by the drove. They don't care. They just want to scream about little, you know, cute, chubby babies because they're stupid and they don't understand science.
Yeah, this dumb bitch over here going, I've helped so many women who, you know, wanted to have abortion and they ended up having their baby.
God.
Bitch, are you there at 2 o'clock in the morning when she's got to get up to feed that baby and has three other fucking kids she's got to take care of?
Leave people
alone. And
she works
at Wendy's or something? Like, can't you just fucking back the fuck up?
Ugh.
Like, in the whole point of the clip, in the clip of what Ann Richard says is, I'm giving you space to, if you morally disagree with this, then morally disagree in your own life. Don't allow the government to step into my life and legislate what I do with my body and my daughters and my granddaughters do with their body. Morally disagree in your life. But you then wanting to, the government, it's the same side of the coin. They don't want the government involved in our lives. But when it comes to abortion, they're all for the government legislating
from here
to sundown.
For everything. I've never seen people who don't see the hypocrisy of of what they say. They talk out of both sides of their mouths all the time. I can't. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God.
This is short and sweet.
You know, that's your brand.
That's my brand.
Tina, short and sweet, Jaramillo.
Sorry.
No,
sorry.
Why apologize? Right. It's a good brand. Short and sweet's a good
brand.
Yes.
All right, listen, we don't have attention spans. Yeah. What is going on? All right, so today, I'm going to tell you the story of former Ocean City Mayor Paul Kennedy.
Ocean City, is that New Jersey?
It's New Jersey.
Oh! Going back to Jersey.
Ooh.
Jersey. We're going back to Jersey.
I don't think so. Oh. All right, so Paul Kennedy served as mayor of Ocean Gate beginning in 2007, but after years of deceit, he finally paid the price for profiting off the town.
Oh, God.
So here's another one of these, you know, grifters. our story takes place between 2007 and 2023. So I don't have a ton of background on this guy. You know, this is this Jersey Shore town reminds me a little bit. I think it's smaller, but like a Lauderdale by the Sea. Like, you know, it's just like a tiny little like beachside town kind of thing. So it's a small Jersey Shore town called Ocean Gate, and there's only like 2,000 people in this little town. And he worked as a carpenter for the town and also held position as the mayor. So, you know, people have like their regular jobs and then they're elected and you don't make much pay in these mayor commissioner positions.
Yeah.
So he did work for the city as like the city carpenter. So he had that city job and then he's elected mayor.
What a job.
Right? So from what I read, he's kind of been in trouble throughout his time as mayor. And there were various like ethic violations over the years before the major incident like comes to light. So it's just like little things here and there. And there were people in the town who kind of just thought he was shady. But they couldn't really wrap their hands around it of like, here
what
are all
it?
The things.
Yeah.
All right. So the major incident, the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office starts looking into Kennedy's behavior because there's all of these complaints starting to come in, right? And they found that he was pocketing money that was supposed to be for the city. So basically, he was just like stealing money. And the reason I picked this, just because I thought it was funny, was that like he was stealing money out of like the parking meters. Like he,
what?
Yeah, like he was, like it was just like, and I laughed.
Yeah, where
I
else is like, he going to get it? Like, that, like, that makes sense.
Like, isn't that funny?
It's like a gumball machine.
It's
like
so stupid.
A gumball machine.
So, so the way that he profited is he was selling scrap metal from the recycling center, and that money's supposed to go to the city, but he would go to the recycling center and then pocket the money of like whatever is being recycled. And that was like $1,200. The main thing that he kind of got in trouble for was the money from his reelection campaign and from his running mate's campaign. Oh. So they were running like together. And so he was taking money out of that account. And so one account I read said that he took about $17,326.84 out of $19,351.
Wow.
So he basically like emptied these coffers. But when they talk about the total money stolen, it's like less than that. So I don't know if that piece was like looked at as like a separate thing than like these other kind of smaller little, you know, the scrap metal here and this thing here. The other thing that he was doing is he would get folks from the carpentry department where he worked. He'd be like, all right, guys, you got to go do work at my house.
I've never heard of a carpentry department in a city or a town. This is
it's
like the
weird,
weirdest,
right?
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah, I guess the buildings, but like the fact that he's a carpenter, like actually doing the work is weird.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's so small.
Maybe.
He also was like selling furniture. City
what?
Office furniture on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh my God.
And then he also stole.
No, I got a good story. Hold on. My ex-husband used to work at this bank. Like he was doing security at this bank and he would work at night, and they were getting rid of all this old furniture, and they're like, do you want anything? And he's like, oh, I like this bookshelf. So they let him take this bookshelf. Couple weeks later, they're like, someone stole all the furniture. And he was like, well, so-and-so was like letting people take furniture. And I took a bookshelf, but he's telling us his story. And my daughter must have been like 6 when this was happening. And I remember him telling us the story. And on like Father's Day, they have like, you know how they have you fill out, you know, things about my dad or whatever. One of the stories was, what's your favorite thing about your dad? He likes to take bookshelves from work. Like, oh my God, she's a narc. She totally implicated you in this crime.
My God. That's so cute though.
It was adorable. It was adorable.
The other thing that he did was pocketing the quarters from the parking meters, which is like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I gotta tell
what
you,
are
this,
you doing?
This motherfucker's just looking for change.
What are you doing?
Yeah, by the way, come on.
And he also stole a city vehicle. So they were supposed to like sell the city vehicle online, and he took the money from it. It was a 2008 Honda Pilot, like,
Like
random weird things. So, and then he deposited all the money in his personal account.
Oh my, bruh.
So game people breath. Start coming out of the woodwork to comment, like, once, you know, the investigation is underway and they start seeing, like, the money that he's taken.
Yeah.
And one person in particular, Marina Agnoli, spoke to the AAP and said that she tried to warn the county for years. She said,
there's always somebody.
I love it. Quote, I've known for years that former Mayor Kennedy was not an honorable man, partially because of how he treated people, and also because he twice gave himself huge raises as mayor of a tiny town. And all the while, he had a full-time job with Ocean County.
Yeah.
I protested when he gave himself inexcusable raises and he hated me for it. And afterward, always referred to me as that Agnoli woman.
Yeah.
That Agnoli woman just won't leave me alone.
But you know, she's right. How many times have you met somebody who's in office or running for office and you're like, bad vibes?
Bad. Well, we know so many of those.
Girl, there's one and I'm just like,
We know it's bad.
This ain't it. Oh, God, I hope they don't win. Oh, my God.
Oh, I know.
Woo!
So some of those like prior issues that he was like under trouble for was that he was fined like $700 for violating ethics laws. And I couldn't find like exactly what that fine was about, but I just read that he did have this additional fine. And then people weren't thrilled with the money that he was making. Mm. So even though there was no salary for that mayor position, he had a stipend for positions where he was on like these committees as mayor.
Oh, come on.
Right? And so he got $30,000 for acting borough administrator, $8,000 as acting personnel director, $7,000 for acting insurance administrator, and $5,000 for acting coordinator for the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yo.
So he's bringing in about $50,000 from the stipends, plus holy he's working shit. For the city with no. his other carpentry
well, he's
job.
Got four different jobs. Why has he got all these jobs? Yes. There's nobody else there that can yeah. do these jobs?
So like he's appointing, you know, it's...
No. This girl's right.
Right. So people are like,
Agnola woman knows what the fuck's
yeah,
up.
Yeah, she knows what's going okay. on, Agnoli.
Agnoli. Damn it, Agnoli.
That Agnoli woman. God, just leave me alone.
I want to be that person. I want to be the person who walks into the city chambers and they're like, fuck, the Doherty woman's here? Who is she targeting this time? Please, God, don't let
oh
it be me.
Oh, my God.
I know you're taking stipends for recycling manager and insurance coordinator.
So charges, he was charged with official misconduct, theft, pattern of official misconduct. So basically the charges that he engaged in behavior over several years, it wasn't a one and done kind of thing. And they saw this from the endless list of thefts that he had done. The prosecutor in the case, Bill Heimer, said, "This is a textbook example of public corruption, the leveraging of one's official public position to gain unlawful personal benefits."
He
pleads guilty in 2023 in September. He was sentenced to state prison for 3 years. He has to serve 2 years before being eligible for parole.
Whoa.
And he's got to, you know, pay back money. And so some of the aftermath, according to an article in APP, he will never be able to serve in public office again. He will lose his job as county carpenter, and he can't hold any city job, like, ever again.
What's he going to do now? That's all he knows is all those jobs. Yeah. All his jobs are in the city.
So
he's got 50 jobs, and they're all in the city.
It's so stupid. And so a couple points of interest. One thing I found funny was that he didn't resign officially. He just stopped showing up to council meetings, and then they formally removed him due to his absence. And it's like, just resign, right? Ugh. But he just no-shows, and they're like wasting everybody's time. And then finally they have to be like, okay, well, he has X number of absences, so we're officially allowed to let him resign.
Right.
And then he was sued by the Democrats in 2015 for holding four jobs and failing to disclose those jobs. But the article that I read about said it wasn't clear what happened with that lawsuit. But I'm guessing it has to do with all of those positions that he's holding. Mm. So that's the story of the profiteering politician, Mayor Paul Kennedy.
Oh, very good, Tina. I wonder, too, I think that Kennedy name, people are like, ooh, Kennedy. Oh. Like, I think that's a real thing.
I think so, too. Of course.
You know?
Of course.
Yeah. That's part of it.
This guy.
Good story, Tina.
Oh, so two things that I wanted to talk about. Well, one, Kate Middleton.
Okay. First of all, I don't want to talk about who I'm in a text thread thing with, but I have a whole conversation going with some other people. And the consensus is she had a facelift. Is there cancer? Maybe. But the palace definitely lied about her having cancer. Okay.
Oh, wait. You don't think that she has cancer?
I don't know. Because why would they lie about it? Like, they were specifically asked, and they said that it wasn't cancer.
Well, because she says she's doing a preventative chemo.
Yeah.
So maybe it's, like, they saw something after
doing
that
surgery.
Something.
I think they removed, like, a tumor,
maybe. And
then
they did a biopsy, and then they saw, ooh, this could not be good. So, I mean.
It's all possible. But also, if you watch that video, her face, the quote that I'm going to say from this non-person that I'm not going to say, is, like, her face isn't settled yet. Like, you can see that it's still, and her hair looks weird. Like, they won't, the side of her, like, they're not showing the side, like, where you would have this.
Oh.
I don't know.
They're not showing behind her ears where you see that little scar.
Right. And the problem, too, is that we can't trust anything that the palace says.
No.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
But could she have cancer? Yeah, she could. But also, two things can be true at once. You could also still be lying, and you could have cancer. I don't know. But it's fucking sad if that's the case. Because if you have cancer, you should be able to, like you said last week, take that time off, recover, have some privacy. But unfortunately, this is the royal family, right, and you're never going to have that sort of privacy. But you've been doing this, that PR, I don't know what happened, ever since Queen Elizabeth died. That Buckingham Palace is a disaster. King Charles, he don't know what the fuck's up. He's walking around that crown all day, probably naked, wandering the fucking hallways. He's so excited. He's finally 80 years old and king. But the PR team is not doing a good job. I'm going to tell you that much. They're not doing a good job. How do you say she didn't have cancer and then she has cancer? Like, I don't know. I'm not here for it. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to.
You have more sympathy for them than I do.
I think also with like a cancer diagnosis.
I know.
You know, I did read that she was like, you know, I wanted to tell my kids, and I know like I didn't tell my kids right away.
Right.
Because you got to kind of process and like, what is going to be the procedure? And then I'll wait until like I have to start doing stuff. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
So I can see like, okay, maybe just wanting some space to do that.
Yes, I get that too.
And then, like,
they wanted the kids to be out of school for a break.
Right.
So when the news hit, they weren't out in public.
Right.
So I get that
too. So I don't know. I mean, I would hate to hear that someone is lying about that because that's, like, really shitty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and then the only other thing I had is I watched these two shows, these documentaries, and I told you about them. One is called The Program.
Okay, is this with the kids in the school?
Yes.
Okay, listen, my daughter and I wants to watch it, but I got to tell you, you know how Netflix does this thing where you're like, you're paused on a thing, yeah, and it starts to show you a,
yes,
clip. So it started to show a clip of like, I was calling my dad asking him, when can I come home? Yeah. And I'm like, that upsets me. That's a very upsetting thing.
No, it's so upsetting. But the thing that I think is important about that is that these are, do you remember like back in the day, and they show clips of this stuff, like on like, you know, Sally, Jesse, Raphael, yeah, or like those shows, and they would be like
a boot camp,
you know, and like people coming in the middle. They do it in Sopranos. They, yes, come in the middle, yes, of the night. They, yes, take your kid and like they ship them off, and that you think that they're going to some place. It was like this tough love kind of thing. I mean, never in a million years would I,
ooh,
have that happen to my children, like that they get ripped out, and no way. But some parents feel like they're at the breaking point, and they talk to some of the parents with their kids. And there's one girl that is like, she can't even like look at her mom in the face. And some of them did the program for like 15 months, 27 months.
Oh my God.
And it's like, and they have to go through the program in order to be able to go home. And if you're against the program, they dock you points and you have to earn points to move up. And like, but it's so restrictive and violent, and that it's all brainwashing techniques. But the thing that's crazy is that it's still going on. So they are like there's schools, quotes, all across this country that are still doing this and are collecting so much money off of families, and they're living in these lavish estates, and these kids are like barely in beds. It is wild. And somebody needs to do something. And there was a politician attached to one of them in one of the small towns.
I don't know.
The other one I saw was The Quiet on the Set.
What's that?
Oh, girl, the Nickelodeon one.
Oh, where do you watch that?
Okay, so it's on HBO now.
Okay, I want to see it because I know, I mean, I wasn't, Blue's Clues was not my deal. That was way after me. I was working, I was in high school when Blue's Clues was a thing because I worked at a preschool.
Well, they didn't, play it was Blue's not Clues. Really Blue's Clues.
No, but the guy who was Steve, who was the host on Blue's Clues, right, like the guy, he came out with a video, and it's like talking to the kids that watched his show and about all of this and like how unsettling it is, and like kind of was a comfort, I guess, after watching that documentary, like this was so fucked up and like, let's talk about it.
So some of the stuff, cause okay. So those shows came out like past my time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's Ariana Grande.
Yes.
They had on there talking.
Jenna McCready or what's her name? That girl McCready, who's incredible.
They had, who's the guy, Double Dare guy, the host.
Oh yeah. I like him. Mark Summers.
Okay. Mark Summers. He's on there.
Yeah.
And they're showing him stuff, and he's like, they aired this on Nickelodeon. Like, it's like, he could not believe what they were doing to these shows, like with Ariana Grande. She was like 10, and they have her with a pickle, like eating a pickle.
Yeah.
And it's like all of these just really sexual things.
Yeah.
And the audience is kids, but then there's a whole other side story of like the sexual predators on that set, and this one guy that they talk to. It is terrible.
Yeah.
It is terrible. And the guy who's like the main dude, like he didn't do any of the Dan Schneider. He didn't do any of the sexual stuff. But I was looking at that. I'm like, this guy looks so familiar. Yeah. Like, why do
you
I know
why?
Him?
You know why? He's on that TV show.
He was on this TV show back in the day. I looked it up. It was called Head of the Class.
Yes.
And they mention it in the documentary. Yes! And I'm like, oh, dude, he was that guy.
Yeah.
But the stuff that he with the women and the women writers, you have to watch it.
He's a piece of shit.
It just makes you realize, like, man, like, and my husband and I were talking, and he's like, you know, Hollywood is supposed to be, like, the liberals, right? And the fact that, like, they allow this stuff to be covered up, they allow people to continue to work, they write, just like with that Danny Masterson, when Ashton Kutcher and his wife.
Fuck those two, by the way. Mila Kunis and fucking, like, Ashton Kutcher. Go
and,
fuck yourself.
And other
fuck
people,
you.
Like, associated with that 70s show. And they write these letters. So there's a thing that happens, and it's the same thing. Like, there's all of these actors, and you'll see it, like, who wrote letters of support for this one person, and it's and they finally, like, unsealed them. And they read, like, names. I don't understand why you're supporting.
Just like in the first documentary you mentioned, and just like this one, you have parents,
yes,
who allow abuse on their children. Yeah. That Jeanette McCurdy, who was on Sam and Cat with Ariana Grande, that girl, she wrote a book. She has a podcast. She's fucking incredible. The abuse this girl suffered from her mother on the set.
Right.
It's fucking insane.
They overwork. And my favorite thing that they did was, like, they kept doing, like, we asked Nickelodeon, and Nickelodeon, you know, like the lawyer statement, like, we do our best to ensure that the kids are taken care of, whatever. It's when you see what happens with one kid, there is one dad who was, like, tried so hard to stay involved.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got to see it. But most of the parents were like, you know, there was one kid, he was like, this is our way out of poverty.
Yeah.
And we were afraid, you know, they manipulate. They know that this is their chance and they can destroy your career.
Yeah. Drake Bell.
That's
he was the one who was abused on it. He was.
Well, he's the one they talked to.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like 15 when that was going on. Right.
Yeah. You got like he's like, this is the first time he's talking about it.
Yeah. And let me tell you something else. These kids that come out and talk, they've survived this and they're being public. God bless you. God bless you. Because there's so many kids. Corey Haim, Corey Feldman.
I mean,
Corey Haim, both sexually abused. Yeah. I mean, and they're.
I'm waiting for Corey Feldman to just name the names.
They're lucky to be alive. Corey Haim's not, but like any of these kids are lucky to have survived.
Corey Haim is dead because of what he went through.
Absolutely.
Because nobody protected him.
I told you, I don't know if we talked about it on here, but there's a whole, I know I talked to you about it, a whole New York Times article a month ago. So shocking. So shocking about moms.
Oh, yeah.
Parents who run Instagram and TikTok accounts for their children. And we're talking about girls doing gymnastics or doing TikTok dances. And in the comments
are
hundreds
and
hundreds of pedophiles. And you can, they leave disgusting comments. And then the parents go to report them to Instagram, like, there's a fucking weirdo. This comment is, this is a little 8-year-old girl. And Instagram goes, well, he's not violating our rules. So they're allowed to say these things. But then there's moms. So sometimes they'll shut the accounts down. But then there's also parents who can go to their website
and
buy
her
leotard.
Oh, my God. That's disgusting.
You can buy her underwear.
Oh, my God. I can't. Woo-hoo.
And some of the parents are like, we're setting up a college fund.
No. At what cost?
Your daughter is being
at what cost?
Is learning
this exploitation of your kid
to sexual and they
to men?
And I gotta tell you something else. My daughter never did dance, thank God, because the dances these girls are doing, it's sexual. If you're gyrating your hips, I don't care if you're 8 years old. You can go, she's 8 years old. It's just a dance. It is a sexual move. If that was a grown woman, it would be a sexual dance. Why are you asking a little girl to do like a thing with her hips where she looks like she's fucking? If your daughter goes to a dance school and that's a thing, leave the school. It's a sexual move. It is, period. Whether you like to, whether you think so or not, she's just dancing. No, ma'am. Believe me. You put a video like that online, the pedophiles will come running.
It's gross.
And I don't know. We've talked about this before. Those YouTube families, the families that have YouTubes and they put up videos of their kids and they put their kids in these awful situations.
Well, there's that lady that just got in trouble.
Yeah, they fake the death of a dog and pretend the dog died and to get the kid to cry. And then they go, haha, just kidding. Like they're torturing these fucking kids. Or the videos of their daughters doing dances or their daughters doing gymnastics get twice, three times as many views. Who do you fucking think is watching that? It's not because your daughter's a star. Someone's jerking off to it.
Ew.
It's a fucking fact. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. Dance. Fuck dance. Get the fuck out. No. 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 No.
Ooh.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, ballet.
Whatever. Just.
Jazz. Tap. Not contemporary.
Hip hop dancing or whatever the fuck it is. Like, no. No. Oh my God. No. 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 No.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And also, like, I think there's a thing, too, where parents don't believe their kids. So you send your kid off to this school because their behavior problem. And then they call you and they're like, I'm fucking suffering, right? And the parents are like, well, this is what you need or whatever.
At that school,
like,
though,
what
they monitor
the
calls.
Yeah. Like,
and you weren't allowed to say.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
And parents have a tendency to believe, like, authority figures more than they believe their own children.
Well, and a lot of it, like, steeped with this religion. It's.
Ooh, girl.
It was good though, and it's and then there's this one girl who, I mean, they lied about so many things about her, but then at the end she sings like this like really slow, sad version of Girls Just Wanna Have Fun. And because they made them play that, and they're like, every time we hear that song that's supposed to be a fun song, like it's just bad memories for them. And she does, it's a really pretty slow piano version of it. It's very good. I like was crying.
I was watching The Bear last night and I know, I'm on my fourth rewatch and the uncle says to Sugar, like, she's like, if you had kids, like, what would you do different? And he said, well, I wouldn't have them, first of all, like, if he had to do it all over again. But he said, no, I'm just kidding. Like, but I would let them make mistakes. I would let them get in trouble. I wouldn't protect them as much. And that reminds me of that.
Yeah.
There's a thing about making mistakes and getting in trouble where you learn from it.
Right.
Like, you've lived this life and you've made mistakes and you have to allow kids to fall. You have to. We overprotect our kids. In a reasonable way, right? Like, I don't want my kids going across the street at night by themselves, but if the sun's going down and they're together, okay.
Yeah.
Just don't leave each other's side. But I think that we have to have...
We have to get out of the fear.
Yeah.
There's too much.
I don't know. I
can we end on a happy note?
Yes.
Like something happy?
There's a new Beetlejuice trailer.
Oh.
Do you like
my
it?
My kids and I were
I'm
talking about
excited.
It.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited too.
And speaking of that, of 80s movies, I brought my kids to see the new Ghostbusters last night.
Oh.
So good.
Is it good?
Another home run.
Oh.
I'm gonna tell you, this Ivan Reitman, Jason Reitman sort of like, because his son's the one who wrote and directed the first, The Afterlife, which is the
that
last
one. That
one
was good.
Out. So good. Same cast, same here.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray comes on the screen. I'm so excited. My daughter's like, shh. I'm like, no, I'm so excited. Like, it's a good throwback and it makes me feel
like
so,
our
and
childhood,
it's funny.
Man.
I don't know. I just love the whole fucking thing. I love it. Slimer shows up. Please. It's the best. It's the greatest. Ghostbusters. And then we're just listening to the song the whole way home and dancing. Oh my God. It's so good. Oh, I know. One last thing. Kate is coming to trivia. She listens to the podcast and she sends me messages. So Emmett Smith played for the Cowboys. That was the correction that I got from her. She's like, get it right. I'm like, okay, I thought that was right.
I'm so bummed that I can't be there when it starts.
Well, you'll show up when you show up.
Can I still play or no?
Of course.
Oh, I didn't know if it was like you have to be like right on time or you're not allowed to play.
No, girl, please.
Okay.
I mean,
that makes me feel
fun.
Better.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, so there's another. Okay, so my friend Madeers. She's at a new place and she's like, they do like these trivia nights. but I think it's like, oh gosh, where is it? Not saying yet. Davie. I think it's in Davie.
Girl.
I think.
Madea wants us to drive to Davie.
I think. I can't remember where it is.
Girl.
But anyway. They do like different themed trivia nights.
Okay. Yes.
And then, but you got to pay like $5 to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I think like next week it's supposed to be like 80s trivia.
Nice. That 80s would be
music.
Fun. Okay.
Isn't that so fun? I know. I don't know. But anyway, she's like, but I don't know for sure. But I'm like, okay, well, I know like in the summer when I have, it's just hard on a school night for me, but I'm off next week. I don't know. Anyway, I was thinking maybe we can try that out too.
That'd be fun.
Oh
my God.
And it's an Irish bar.
Oh, is it the Field? Yes. She worked at the field. Oh, my God. That's where they did the Galentine's one that we didn't go to because nobody can fucking go. And then they do like a Seinfeld one and they do Parks and Rec maybe? Like trivia. Seinfeld trivia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's that.
Oh, I love the field.
Oh, I've never been.
Tina.
I know.
You know what? The last time I was there, which wasn't maybe, oh my God, this was a beautiful date night that I went on a date.
Ooh.
And we went to see a Rod Stewart impersonator.
Oh my God. This is like one good thing after the next.
It was fucking fantastic. Here's the best part. He's old like Rod Stewart. And he's racist and he's a misogynist. And he was telling like the most not politically correct jokes. And the whole time I was like, oh, like it was crazy. And people were like laughing. And I'm like, this has got to be the last place that this kind of shit is happening, right? But then he would sing and I'd be like, yay. You know what I mean? But it was like way not appropriate. But I was also like, all right, well, I don't know. He's... Don't we have to give old people a pass? Some old people. He's not running for office. He's an idiot. He's up here. He's a Rod Stewart impersonator. Give him a pass.
I mean, no.
No.
No. No.
Tina's fucking
my
hardcore.
My vote is no.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, that's all I
anyway,
have.
Anyway, that's all I have, too.
All right.
And my computer didn't crash.
Ooh.
It's a win, bitch.
All right. Well, we better go. We better go before something happens, because then I'll cry.
All right. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
If you want to see any photos or take a deeper dive into our stories, please go to our website, www.themuckpodcast.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Muck Podcast and on our Twitter at Muck Podcast.
To support The Muck Podcast, please visit our Patreon page. We have three levels of support with exclusive content: Muckraker, Policy Wonk, or Bleeding Heart. We can't do this without you.